Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Jesse Green at the control panels as always, and today we're having a conversation about video marketing. Smart marketers have long been aware of the power of video. There's more and more video being uploaded to YouTube and other hosting platforms at a rapid rate, far quicker than any other medium. We all understand the importance of having certain videos on our websites, but what's not really known is how to create short and sharp videos for marketing purposes. Our guest today, Jeff Anderson, is the author of a book called Shoot Me Now. He is a fantastic video guy. He knows the ins and outs of not just how to create videos, but how to leverage them. And that's the conversation that we're specifically having today. It's a wide-ranging conversation, and Jeff shares plenty of practical how-tos and tips and things that you can use in your practice to use video to grow your patient base, get your message out there, and of course have patients coming through the door and seeking dental treatment from you. I really hope you enjoy this episode. As always, you're going to want to take plenty of notes, have a pen and paper handy, or hit pause, rewind, whatever you need to do, but make sure you take action on the things that Jeff shares in this particular episode. I know you'll be glad you did. So without any further ado, here's Jeff Anderson. Jeff, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. How's things with you today, mate?
Excellent, Jesse. Thanks for having me on board. Looking forward to having a good chat.
Mate, I've been looking forward to this chat for a while now because everywhere I look, your name pops up. And obviously, we move in some similar circles and I've seen a lot of your work over the years. And so it's really good to finally be catching up and chatting on the show. Mate, I wanted to really start our conversation today because you are an expert in video. You're really well known for your website, sonicsite.com.au. And got this reputation as being the guy to go to for video and also, you know, teaching how to do video and all those good things. But what I wanted to ask you a little bit before we get into the nuts and bolts of video is, can you tell us a little bit about your story in business? Were you kind of born with a camera in hand, or how did you get to this place in your business journey?
Well, it's more by accident than plan or strategy, Jesse. I actually had a business with a couple of guys, and I just joined in with them when I came back from doing a couple of years overseas skiing. I had a degree in science and was still trying to work out what I was going to do with my life. And these guys approached me and said, "Hey, why don't you join our business? We're going to do events and video production." One of the other partners was the technical director at Channel 9. So I said, "Sure, why not?" So I did that, and that was going okay for a little while. But then after a couple of years, I woke up one morning, and the other partner, not the video guy, he was an energy suck. He was a dark, gloomy guy. It was really, and I got up one morning thinking, I don't want to go to work because that guy's there. And I thought, this is crazy. This is my own business. What am I doing? You know, what's the point? So I had a chat to Tim, the other partner. I said, "Look, Tim, I can't do this anymore. You know, it's just too hard, and I'm gonna leave." And Tim said, "Well, actually, I've had enough as well." And so we both decided to leave, and we started Sonic Site actually 25 years ago to this month. And so Tim was the one with all the technical expertise, and I was, I guess, the creative admin guy. I'd actually done a stint in banking along the way as well, which turned out to be incredibly useful because I was, while we were building up the first business, it was a part-time operation. And I got a job. I chose a job at the bank because it would have a telephone. I could ring my co-partners. That was my motivation. But what happened was, because I had a degree, I was fast-tracked to become a commercial loans officer. And in doing that, I had to do this business banking course, and it taught me all about what makes a good business, which was, and I was sucking up the knowledge because I thought, I'm going to need this in my own business. And it was things like, you know, having a broad client base, being aware of cash flow, keeping on top of the numbers, and all that stuff has just held me in good stead throughout my years as running the business, because they're all fundamentals that you've got to be on top of it, regardless of what your business is and where you're at with your business. that was really helpful. But along the way with Sonic Sight, I just got more and more hands-on with the video production process and loved it and loved the creativity of it, loved the technicalities of it. Back in the days when we started, it was all videotape. It was big machines, big cameras that you'd have to first cameras we were shooting on was a U-Matic. You had to carry the recording deck over a shoulder, either of the cameraman or the person assisting them. And it was backbreaking work, literally. So it was interesting times. That quickly moved on. It's been fascinating seeing the changes in the technology over the last 25 years. And just the way, about 5 or so years ago is when I saw this big sort of shift happening where people suddenly woke up to the power of video. You know, the internet speeds picked up and it was easier to distribute videos online. And just seeing the transition as everybody started to start talking about video, and I say to people, wow, it's taken me about 20 years to be in the right place at the right time. Yeah, so along the way, I just got more and more hands-on with it, kind of accepted the fact that I actually knew what I was doing. I was sort of thinking, oh, but I haven't gone to university and done a degree and or TAFE and trained in this. But in the next breath, I said, but I could teach it at TAFE. So maybe I just need to accept that I do know what I'm doing here. And, you know, hands-on training was, you know, the best way to learn it.
Yeah, look, there's so many wonderful entrepreneurial threads in that little story there that you've just given us that I'd love to just pull on one or two of them before we get into the video. Just going back to when you had your first business and you had that partner and you woke up that morning and thinking, oh my goodness, I don't want to go to work and it's my own business. Mm. And then, of course, you've transitioned into Sonic Sight. As you made that leap, you've kind of, I suppose, left first base to run to second base, and there's that moment between base one and base two. And there's that moment of, oh my goodness, have I done the right thing? Did you have any feelings of that as you went through? And how did you get through that? Did you just plow through, or was it comforting to know you had your other partner with you? I'm just wondering what that journey is like, because there'll be some people listening to this podcast and going, you're absolutely right. I know what it's like to go to work and not enjoy it, and something needs to change. And having the courage to make that change is a different thing to actually making it.
Look, I think part of the journey was, you know, being just completely ignorant of you know, what was in front of us. But also we were very patient, and it was a part-time start. So I actually had jobs, you know, working in restaurants and bars and that sort of thing along the way while we built up the Sonic Sight brand and built up jobs with that. And that was, you know, looking for opportunities. You know, Mossman Council was having a centenary. So we went and knocked on their door and said, hey, how about we film the centenary for you and make a highlights video? And they thought, oh, that was a great idea. So that was our first major client. And that sort of kept us busy for the first year. But it wasn't enough to feed us all the time. So it was, you know, we needed to supplement that. And we just gradually built the business up over time. We got more and more projects and built it up. But one of the things we did when we started the business, and this was fundamental to it, was Tim and I sat down and we said, okay, we've had a bad experience with this other company. Moving forward, what do we want this business to be for us? And we had this conversation. We said, well, yeah, that's the point. We want the business to be there for us. We don't want to be at the mercy of the business, which is kind of where this other guy was driving us, saying, you know, we had to put in all these hours. We had to kill ourselves, and you know, we weren't committed if we weren't working till 10 o'clock every night. And we're like, well, no, we don't want to do that. We actually want to enjoy it. You know, we want a business which will take us to exotic locations. We want a business which is going to pay our way, but it's going to be enjoyable. And so that was a founding sort of criteria for us in our business. We wanted, and which is why it's, you know, taking me 25 years to grow a very small business, because we haven't wanted it to be an enormous operation. We actually wanted to enjoy the ride and have a, you know, a great quality lifestyle around it. So having that as a cornerstone, I think, was really, really valuable for us.
Yeah, I think that's incredibly important to have that very clear picture of what you want from your business, because you're quite right. I think most people kind of fall into their business and they feel that it's just work harder, work harder, work harder, work harder, work harder. And all of a sudden you feel like you're shackled to the thing, and that when you do take a break, worried that things are going to fall apart, you're worried that the revenue is going to dip and you're going to come back to an empty bank balance. And I know we had a bit of a conversation earlier about managing cash flows and specific strategies that you've taken to really even that out, which I think is really clever. But I think getting clear about what you want from your practice or your business up front is really, really sensible and really smart thing to do. So I take my hat off to you, mate. Well done to you.
I've seen people who they kill, you know, they work so hard because they want to have this lifestyle, and it's like, well, you're not actually having the lifestyle. You're just working. You're killing yourself. You're exhausted. You're ratty. You're angry with people. You're stressed. And it's like, and then they think, oh, I'll have the lifestyle when I finish. And it's like, well, it's too late then. You know, your relationships have fallen apart. You know, your kids aren't talking to you. You've got to enjoy the ride. Or worse, you know, they do all this and they stop to retire and then drop dead because they've got no driver for them anymore. So, yeah, I think it's really important that you get the balance right. And that's something that's always been important to me because, yeah, it's about the journey along the way. You can't just wait till the end to reap the rewards.
Yeah, look, again, there's so many pearls of wisdom in that, Jeff, because what you're saying is that you get one life. No one really knows what happens at the end of it, and, you know, whether you believe there's an afterlife or not, but really this is it. It's not a dress rehearsal, and let's enjoy that because it's short. It goes by in the blink of an eye. I've got two kids, kind of measure time by their age a little bit these days. And, you know, when you say, oh, I've had the business now 25 years ago, I just did a little bit of a mental computation going, oh, yeah, that's, you know, 1993. Where was I in 1993? And it feels like yesterday. It doesn't feel 25 years ago. I look in the mirror and I know it's 25 years ago, but it goes by so quickly. So you're right. Absolutely enjoy it. Jeff, you would have been, through your work, in a very fortunate position, I would imagine, because you've had the opportunity to be behind the camera. You've had the opportunity to be in front of the camera, obviously, as well. But being able to look in on people's businesses as you're recording them in what they're doing, as you've gone about unpacking their story and video and storytelling, as you quite rightly say, it's taken 25 years to be in the right place at the right time, it's really come of age. And it feels like, to me, that video is a medium that is, if it's not at its prime, it's, you know, very close to being its prime, probably going to go for a lot longer than that too, but what have you observed in your moments of being able to look in on businesses that you feel have separated them from their competitors or helped them stand out in the marketplace? As you're recording these stories, have you been able to suck in any lessons vicariously as you've gone through that journey?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I get to interview and talk to some, you know, amazing people who are doing great stuff, and they might be doing training content for workshops or whatever, and I just it's one of the great joys of our business is we're getting paid to listen to, we'll film conferences as well and listen to, you know, amazing people sharing great wisdom and thinking, wow, you know, this people have paid thousands of dollars to listen to this and we're being paid to listen to it, and that's a great bonus for me. And I also love just learning about different businesses, learning what people are doing and seeing industries that you wouldn't have heard of, you didn't know about. But because we're getting to go behind the curtains and we get to become quick experts in them because we have to analyze them and then write scripts that bring out their value proposition to the marketplace, that's fascinating. Look, I think the ones that, you know, really are doing well, they've been strategic about the whole approach with their messaging. It's about understanding that. And I say this to clients, they actually don't want a video. They actually, what they want is an outcome. They want more engagement. They want people to take the next step. So the conversations I have with clients who say, oh, we want a video, I say, well, let's talk about that a little bit more. What are you actually trying to achieve with the video? You know, why do you think you want a video? And sometimes I've done this where I've said to clients, I don't think you need a video at this point. I don't think that's the priority. You need more business, but you haven't got a brand, you haven't got a business really yet. What you need to do is perhaps go to a networking event and talk to people there and build up your business that way, because having a video and expecting people to come doesn't necessarily follow. You need to have a pathway for that. You know, you need to have work out what step in the process is the video going to be to get people to take the next step. And so it might be a series of videos where you need to have an ongoing conversation, where it's building up trust, it's building up brand awareness, and then there's a call to action at some point. But some people, they're there about sharing their expertise and wisdom, and I really encourage people that that's a great way to attract an audience and to attract credibility by giving away great stuff. I mean, in the dentist industry, I mean, you can give away great knowledge. I mean, that's not where your money is made. It's made when you've got your hands in people's mouths. The irony, of course, with dentists is when you're helping people, you don't get to see them very much and you get less business. But that's a great way to build trust. And I think that's really valuable. And of course, it's critical with dentists where people are traditionally can be scared of going to visit them. If you can say, look, you know, this is how we put our patients at ease. You know, just come in, have a look at our practice. We'd like to show you around. This is what we do with the kids. You know, this is where they can play. This is where they can watch TV. This is where they can do this and do that. And people can feel comfortable before they've even been there. So there are opportunities there to build rapport, but also other information you can give to people to say, hey, listen, this is what you want to do to maintain your dental health and hygiene so that we don't have to see you as often. Or when we do have to see you, it's a really easy visit and that sort of stuff. It just makes people feel like you're not out there just to make a quick buck. You're actually out there to help them.
Well, and I think, you know, quite genuinely, most people are. There'll always, in any large group of people, be one or two who might have ulterior motives. But by and large, I think the profession is really quite a noble one in the sense that most dentists I've ever come across, their ultimate goal is to restore someone to great dental health. And as you quite rightly point out, once you've achieved that outcome, the necessity for future ongoing treatment, you know, really diminishes quite a lot. But you spoke about trust, and I'd like to just pick up that conversation because one of the things we talk about, actually, Jeff, I know you've written a book called Shoot Me Now, which is a fantastic read. I've also written a book. I'm in the process of writing my second one, and I'm finding that process a little more challenging than I found the first time around, maybe because I know what's involved. But one of the things I'm writing about at the moment is trust, and I just wanted to talk about that because we talk about trust in lots of different ways, and you know, one of the particular models that I've been working with is this marketing model about recruiting patients, retaining patients, and reactivating patients. And trust is the currency that we're actually talking about there. So what I'm talking about when I talk about recruiting patients, it's building and establishing trust. And retaining patients is maintaining trust. And of course, reactivating patients is reestablishing trust. And so the video as a medium to do that, I think, is really a wonderful way to be able to establish, maintain, and reestablish trust in that scenario through effective storytelling, through effective education, and by helping people connect with their own dental truth and be able to identify with that. But you spoke about the video, you know, like an explainer video, I suppose, would be come through and we'll show you what we're going to do. One of the things that I've seen some videos on various websites, not just dental ones, and some of them are really elegant, some seem to miss the mark a little bit. But I guess one of the things I wanted to ask you is, apart from the fact that people not knowing if they need a video right now, maybe it's not the appropriate point in the journey, as you already mentioned, but what other mistakes crop up in video a fair bit that you see? When people get the video, they've got the idea or the strategy right, or maybe not, but somewhere in there things go a little bit awry.
Sure. Well, look, I talk about three different class of videos. So there's the casual content, and that's the like the Facebook Live kind of content. It's the disposable sort of videos that you make, which may have some life, but generally they're made for that moment. They're often shot on a phone, and please shoot them in landscape mode when you shoot on a phone. Anybody, please do that. And they're out there. They may last a day or so. And that's casual. It's talking to people that you already know. You're not trying to wow them with, you know, how great everything is. You're just trying to connect with an audience with a message. It's simple. Then you've got the community grade content. And that's where you're talking, once again, to a community that you have access to. So it might be your clients. It might be your suppliers. It might be your staff. These are people that are already part of your sphere of influence. They already know you. They've already got a relationship with you. So, but you might be giving them a more sophisticated message. So it might be, hey, look, this is our latest piece of equipment that we've got in the practice and we wanted to show you this is how it works and whatever. Now, that needs to be reasonable quality. And by reasonable quality, you've got to have the audio right, okay? So you've got to have a microphone. It's not sort of relying on the camera microphone. And you've got to have the framing right so that, you know, the person's head is at the top of the frame. They're not sitting down the bottom of the frame and there's a big open space above them. And, you know, it's got to be reasonably steady and it's got to be reasonably lit so that, you know, people can watch it and see the value in what's happening. And we do a lot of videos at that level, but then you've also got the commercial grade, which is where this is the impressive stuff. This is welcome to our practice. We want to show you around. This is how we will look after you sort of stuff. And that might be, that's where it's, you know, it's more polished. It's well lit. proper cameras, proper audio, proper story. You know, there's been a script written. There's a structure to it. There might be teleprompt used if the dentists are fronting the camera, or it might be a voiceover artist just showing the practice at work. So where people go wrong, I think, is that they're unclear on what their message is, and they're rambling, and they're not and often what happens is, and I say this all the time, is that they want to talk about themselves. And you really need to keep thinking, why does this matter to the audience? Why does this matter to the people that are watching? So, yes, you can talk about your business or your practice, but you've got to make it relevant to the people that are the audience and think, why does this matter to them? So if you've got a new piece of equipment, then you need to put it into context about, well, how this is going to help them, who this is relevant for, you know, how it's going to make their experience better. So – But also the number one thing that people get wrong is audio. They don't have a proper microphone set up. Even if you shoot on your phone, if you're shooting on your phone and you're holding it at arm's distance, then, or someone is holding it for you at arm's distance, you get a reasonable result. So long as you haven't got the drills going off in the background, or the, you know, kids are screaming, or there's traffic bustling past. So you need to be aware of. I got one the other day, and it was, oh, can you fix this video? Someone shot, and I looked at it, and they've got this mother and son talking, giving this, you know, great interview on a couch with these cicadas are just going nuts. And it's just this, all you can hear is these cicadas and these people trying to talk in the background. But, and they said, can you fix it? I said, no, I can't. You haven't put a microphone on these people. And you've got this, you know, erratic noise going on in the background. So, yeah, my number one thing that you see that will scream amateur video is poor audio. So look out for that. You can get, if you've got a mic, if you're using the phone, then you can use the microphone that comes with the phone. If you're doing a casual video, you can get away with that. People will tolerate seeing that. You know, the little ones you plug in.
Yeah, the iPhone one.
Yeah, well, I use a Samsung, so that's got a real microphone jack on it.
Oh, hang on, it's going to get nasty in a second.
But you can also buy little lapel microphones for phones, which have longer cables on them. But regardless of what you're using, you do need some kind of microphone set up. And so, you know, it might be an investment of, you know, $100 or $200 to get something that's useful, but it just makes a difference of amateur and professional. So look, I think there's opportunity for people to make their own videos. And I think given that, you know, our smartphones are high definition cameras, it's very easy to do it yourself as well with a few little basics in place, a stand or something to hold it to keep it steady. So yeah, I think there's certainly opportunities there, but you also need to work out, okay, where does this fit in my communication strategy in terms of, is that, do I also need to have some quality branded material as well, which is going to impress the audience? And more importantly, impress them in a way that gives them confidence that you know what you're doing and you're not some dodgy operation. Because that's what you risk. If you put something out there which is trying to look professional but it's not, they're going to go, oh, gee, what are they like when they, you know, pick up the drill?
I think that's exactly right, isn't it? Because it's that congruence, right? If you're saying we are whizbangdental.com.au or and you know your videos look horrible or amateur, it's hard to then convey that you're not going to be horrible and amateur when you're doing your dentistry perhaps as well. There's got to be that congruence. So it's got to be good enough quality, I suppose.
As I say, it depends on what stage you are in the communication process. You know, if it is a Facebook Live one, and people go, yeah, that's fine. You know, we understand. You're not trying to say you're a video production company. You're a dentist with holding a phone, giving us a message. I mean, how well you articulate that and present that is important. You don't want some rambling thing. It's like, what's your point? You know, get to put a bit of thought before you start recording. Maybe do some tests beforehand so that you get a good version of it. And the more often you can use video as a communication strategy, the more accessible you're going to be to people, the more people are going to feel they know you and they trust you and they like you because they're seeing you more often and they feel comfortable with you, so long as it's useful, helpful advice. So, and sometimes it's not about the what you do, but it's about understanding who your audience is and, you know, who you're talking to there. There's a music library site that comes up in my Facebook feed all the time. And what they do is they don't talk about their music. They talk about filming techniques and lighting tips and all this sort of stuff that their audience is interested in. So it's not, hey, this is all our latest music tracks. It's like, hey, if you're making videos, which we know you are because you like royalty-free music, here's some tips on lighting, or here's some tips on new tech that's been used in the industry. And that's really smart, because they know who their audience is and the sort of stuff they're interested in, and they're talking to them at that and building up a relationship that way.
So again, just to unpack that a little bit, it's going back to who's my ideal patient avatar, or my ideal client if we're in general business. Who's my ideal patient? What is it that's important to them? What are the general things they might be thinking about, worried about, stressing about? Where does dentistry fit into that? Having a broader conversation that may include some dentistry, but may include some general health and well-being bits and pieces, and creating some content around that as well. So you're serving that person in different ways in across the communication platforms, correct?
Yeah. And look, maybe it's tips of what food to pack in your kids' lunch boxes so that they're cleaning their teeth without knowing it at school.
Yeah.
Chop up the apples or whatever it is. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's really helpful. Thanks. Or, you know, healthy food that kids are going to eat at school, which is going to look after their teeth. And that's like, oh, thanks for that. Yeah, that's useful. And that's where people start sharing that sort of stuff. When it's helpful and useful and valuable to people, that's when they'll share it on your behalf. And that's where, you know, other people are going to become aware of who you are.
It's a really important thing to, I think, serve your customers in as many ways as possible. And I really, really love the way you do that. One of the things I wanted to talk about, because this is something that comes up with lots of people, I suspect, I was having the opportunity, actually yesterday, we were in our office and reviewing some footage of video that we'd shot, and I didn't actually see the video, but I could hear the audio playing back, which is really interesting when I'm running a podcast, but I'm often not aware of my own voice. And one of the things I thought was, oh my God, I sound like I've got the worst nasal twang ever. And of course, running a podcast now, I'm so conscious of audio. But one of the things that seems to come up a little bit with video is I either look terrible on video or I sound terrible on video. I don't like my look, I don't like my voice and all the rest of it. Is that something that, A, we just have to kind of get over and deal with? Or B, is there some tips and tricks around that that, you know, we can just make a couple little tips or a couple little adjustments, I should say, rather than a full-on program just to kind of look and sound a bit better?
I think the first answer is A, you've got to get over it. But the second answer is the reality is video really does suck your energy. So you may think you're presenting with a bit of energy when you're on camera. And if you're just presenting as you normally would talk to somebody, you look really flat and really boring and really unenergized. So you actually have to perform. And I had a question from someone once and they said, well, how do you, you know, present on camera and perform and still be authentic? And I said, well, it's like understanding that we do turn up in different ways to different people. You know, if you're talking to a patient, it's going to be different to the way in which you turn up to your mother or to your children or to your friends from school. You know, we behave differently depending on who we're talking to, but we're still our authentic self. It's just a different version of who we are depending on the environment. And so I think you need to appreciate that with video presentations, you're on a stage. You need to respect the fact that your audience has turned up to watch you, and you need to be full of energy and really show that through to the camera. So you need to turn on and you need to energize and be full of energy as you present, because otherwise it just looks flat and dull. And that's, as I'm directing people, I say, nah, need more energy. Sometimes it's talking louder, sometimes it's talking faster, although that's not necessarily the best outcome. But it is definitely, you know, lifting up that energy and projecting your voice and being enthusiastic about what you're talking to. And remember to smile, because although you might be concentrating what you've got to say, people don't want to see that frown on your forehead. They want to see you looking happy about what you're talking about. And yeah, you've got to inject all that into your presentation to really be amiable.
Well, it's funny you should say that, mate, because, you know, we do a lot of workshops as well, and I learned this tip from someone else, actually. I can't claim credit for it. My mate Tucky taught me this, and he's got a little sticky note with a little verbal cue that he puts up on his little monitor when he's doing live presentations, and I use one as well, and my little verbal cue is showtime. So every time I feel that I'm presenting something, and this would work well on video, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, is to have that little reminder, how do I want to show up? And so for me, the verbal cue for me is showtime. because it is a performance. There is some production involved there. And you're right, it's about bringing your best energy. It's about being engaged. It's about being, you know, happy to be there as opposed to, you know, feeling sad and low and flat and expecting the video to get a ton of views and expecting people to be engaged with that, because no one really wants to hang around a sad sack. That's just not fun.
And so, the beauty of video, of course, is if it is a flat performance, you can do it again. You know, you can review it, check it, and look. Yes, we all hate the way we look and sound when we see ourselves for the first time on camera or listen to ourselves, and it's like, that's not the voice I hear in my head when I talk. But you've just got to get over that. You've just got to say, really, and check with somebody else. Is that how I sound? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well. Okay. That's how I sound. All right. I'll accept that and move it on. I was talking to my son's class last year, and they got talking about careers and stuff. It was the year before now. He was in year six. And I was talking about video production as a career, but I said, look, the reality is when you guys leave school, every company's going to be a video production company. They're going to be making their own content. So you guys need to get with the program, and you've got to learn how to present. You're going to learn how to edit and film while you're at school anyway. You're going to master those skills before you leave school. But you've got to learn how to present, because that's how people are going to be engaging in 2022. They're going to be doing it through Skype. They're going to be doing it, you know, their CVs are going to be videos. You know, your employment arrangements are going to be on camera. So you've got to learn how to show up on camera and how to deliver with confidence on camera, because that's how people are going to be engaging. That's how people are going to be communicating. So the sooner you master that, the better.
Yeah, and it comes back to that know, like, and trust thing that we spoke about earlier. If you can get that presentation skill down, you're accelerating the building of trust, and you're accelerating the process where people might engage your services. So I think your point of getting comfortable, getting familiar, mastering that skill to whatever degree is appropriate, then that's a really good skill to have. And it's interesting, because one of the things that I found in dentistry is I might be going to work and for whatever reason I'm not feeling the best, I might be feeling flat or, you know, whatever might have happened. But you go to work and you are in front of a patient and you have to perform. You have to put on a smile. You have to show up in a certain way. So I think if you can bring that energy to your video and you can learn that performance, because candidly, I think we do that a bit already. And I think just transferring that to the screen, which I think is really, really wonderful. So I love that tip there, mate. Bring the energy, learn to perform and master that, you know, to whatever degree is appropriate.
And it is, you know, it is important. It is something you need to learn to do. And people say, oh, I can't do that. It's like, well, you can. You just haven't done it, and you're just telling yourself you can't do it, so you're correct. Or you can tell yourself, yeah, I can do this, and I can learn how to do this, and you can be correct as well.
Yeah.
So you just need to step up and say, okay, I'm gonna start doing this. And, you know, build up to it, do it more and more. And the more and more you do it, the better you're going to get. But you've got to start. I mean, look, the reality is some people are going to be better at it than others. For some people, it'll come naturally. And so, you know, work out how well it sits with you. If, you know, if you're really not someone who's going to get on camera, well, there are ways around that as well. You know, you can have somebody to voice over a production piece. You can do interview style is another way to get around it as well, where somebody can interview you. And so you don't feel like you have to read a teleprompt and present so with such authority, but you can do it in a more casual, genuine sort of way.
Yeah, exactly.
So there are options out there.
Yeah, and look, mate, they don't call me 120 take green for no reason.
Oh, gee, I'd love to work with you, Jeff.
Oh, dear. So I guess, okay, we get to the point, we've got a video, and there's a couple of things that need to happen. Just to be really technical and geeky for a second, I just want to talk a little bit about video hosting. Does the player type really matter? YouTube channels are obviously common everywhere, but is that the best video player, or would you prefer something like Vimeo, I should say, or Wistia, or something like that? What sort of player does it really matter for the purposes that we're talking about? Whether it's a community video, for instance, is that a big deal or not?
Look, no, it's not a big deal. It's just a delivery platform. If you're really getting into it and really making a big deal out of it, then yeah, you might spend a bit more time looking at the different options. Certainly, YouTube is a brilliant way to start. It's free, it's global, it's installed on most people's phones, I think everybody's phones, and it's searchable, it's really easy to use. Vimeo is a great platform as well. It's also got a great free service, and then you can upgrade to some professional aspects of that, which are handy. We use both, and there are different things you can do on it. But certainly, you know, I suggest, you know, hitting the ground with YouTube. If you want to, as you want to delve into it and you want to really review how your videos are tracking and where people are dropping off and all that, then you can get into Wistia, because that will show you where the engagement stops along the way. You know, do people stop at, you know, 12 and a half seconds because you've shown something which they just don't want to see, and maybe you should take that out of the video. But yeah, I highly recommend YouTube as a great starting point. You can embed it in, you know, left, right, and center, all over the place. Don't overthink that sort of stuff. The important stuff is your message and where the video sits in your communication strategy.
So keep it simple.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, you've got all the delivery platforms are and not a big deal.
Yeah, cool. So, righto, we've got our video, we've got it on a delivery platform, and we want to leverage it, right? So how do we use this video? We've gone to the effort of shooting it, because one of the things I see is people creating videos and then not leveraging it. And to me, I feel like that's the main job, is to be able to now use that video. The production is just what you need to do to get something to leverage. So that probably sounds a little bit blasphemous to say that to a video guy, but you know, really, how do we now use that? How do we leverage it? How do we get a return for that effort and a return on investment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it breaks my heart, Jesse, when we make videos for a client and then they do it, you know, they spend thousands of dollars on it. We put it on they put it on their YouTube channel, and they'll put it on their website, and we'll come back a couple of months later and we'll see it's had, you know, 12 views. And we think, oh, Jesus, sorry, you know, this is not working. This is not what you meant to do. You know, you need to get this out to the marketplace. So we very much have conversations with our clients right from the beginning about, okay, what's the distribution strategy we're going to have with this? Because just having it on a web page buried somewhere on your website is not going to get engagement. It's not going to be seen. You know, you need to have a plan for this. And there's some really easy things you can do. If you interview somebody in a video who already has a network and has a profile, they can share it for you on your behalf. They can say, hey, look at this case study I did for this dentist. You know, it was really fun to go there. They're great guys. You know, check it out. And they're doing your promotion and marketing for you. Some of the easy things to do, well, first of all, you have it on YouTube, as we said. That's a search platform on itself. Use good titles on that so it could be searchable. It could come up. But you can include it in your email signature. Every time you send out an email, there's a link to your video at the bottom of your email, which makes it really easy for people to click on, and they can watch it. If they're in Gmail or Google Apps, it'll actually play within their email itself if it's a YouTube video. That makes it easy. If you are putting it on your website, put it obvious, you know, up above the fold somewhere where they're going to see it. But you could share it in newsletters, post it on Facebook, post it on your LinkedIn groups, Twitter, Instagram. You know, if you've got a live event or something, you've got an opportunity to show it, hey, this is a recent video we made, or this is a point I want to make. Another great way is if you've got a new client or something and you're sending them an email for a first booking or something, maybe include a video with it. Say, oh, look, this is what you can expect when you come to our practice. Give them warm them up so they're seeing that before they get there. And of course, it's got to be mobile ready as well. You know, it's got to work on your phones and stuff. But if you've got it on YouTube, that's already sort of ticking that box.
Kind of built in, yeah. So there's so many good ways you can leverage that video. And one of the things you just touched on, I think was really clever, is part of your new patient indoctrination process. When people come to a new practice, there's typically some sort of onboarding process. And sharing a little bit about the philosophy of the practice, sharing a little bit about what the practice stands for, I think is a really good way, because what then happens is, again, I know, Jeff, you're very familiar with that zero moment of truth study, 7 hours, 11 touch points before someone makes a significant buying decision. What you've effectively done in there is you've added a touch point, you've added some time that people are investing in getting to know you and understand you and your brand. And then by the time the decision to buy comes around, yeah, that's an easier proposition than someone coming in cold. And so I think that's a really good way, as you say, of warming those particular patients up prior to asking them to spend some money.
And also the crazy thing about all this is you become a little bit of a celebrity. If you're fronting the video and you're welcoming new patients that you haven't met yet on the video to the practice, and you know how you're going to look after them stuff, and you're telling them stuff, and they see several videos of you, you're a little celebrity. And they go, and when they turn up, they go, oh, it's you. It's like, you're actually here. You're going to be here. And it's like, and you're like going, what are they talking about? And it's bizarre. I mean, YouTube now, they say that the kids' celebrities of the future, or now even, 50% of kids identify celebrities as YouTube producers as opposed to television stars. That's where the celebrities are coming from these days. So anybody can be a celebrity.
It's funny, isn't it? The whole YouTube generation is phenomenal. My kids love YouTube, and you know, we've got to be a little bit mindful of the content they consume. But so many of these YouTube stars are popping up, and they're making millions, some of these kids.
Oh, they're working their butts off, though. I mean, they're making, you know, videos every day or more, and they're putting out a lot of content. But, you know, they're reaping the rewards.
Well, I think it really comes back to having a clever strategy around content marketing, right? And video is their platform of choice, and they've done it really well. They've got a strategy behind it, and they're executing on that strategy really, really well. But again, we can all take lessons from the ability to do that and apply it to our own small business, you know, in this case, dental practice, or even medium-sized business, and take some of those strategies, observe some of those YouTube wonder kids, and go, okay, well, what are they doing? What is it they're doing well? How are they attracting an audience? How are they leveraging their video? What type of video are they using? Is it a casual? Is it a community? Or is it, you know, something more polished? And take some of the lessons from that and go, okay, well, let's observe that and learn from it.
Well, and invariably what they will be doing is they've got a channel which has a specific type of video, and that's consistent for them. So there's another one I watch, Aussie Man Reviews, who's funny bloke, swears like a trooper, but he reviews TV shows or just video clips he's seen. I first found him when he was reviewing Game of Thrones. So he's got a consistent theme to his channel, which is, I'm going to review stuff that's online or on television. And he's hilarious. You know, he takes the piss out of everything, and it's quite funny. But he's built up a solid brand with that. He's got millions of subscribers. He's now getting flown around the world to review all sorts of things, and he's obviously making a good buck from it. So he's got a consistent – when you turn onto his channel, you know what to expect. So if you set up a YouTube channel, you can actually set up different accounts on your YouTube channel. So you can have your dental practice account, but you could also have your, you know, I Love Surfing account. So people tune into the dental practice account, they'll get stuff that's all about the dental practice. And then they could also, you can also have another channel, but you don't mix the two because that's just going to confuse people.
Yeah.
I mean, there's arguments to say that, you know, it's giving them a bigger picture of who you are and you know, the total person that they'd be exposed to, but it may not commercially be the best approach you'd want to take.
No, you probably don't want to be swearing like a trooper while you're reviewing TV and then ask people to come and spend some money with you in the dental practice.
Bring grandmother along, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It could be a little bit incongruous. Like, that's really, really practical stuff. I love that. You've got on your website, I know you've got a couple of really useful tools and PDFs around different types of video and ways to share them and ways to maximize the ROI. The website for people to go to grab those is sonicsite.com.au, correct?
That's correct, yeah. So it's site, S-I-G-H-T, as in vision.
Yes, indeed, as in...
Yeah, so I've got 30 ways to share your videos, 30 types of videos you can make to build your business, and 30 ways to maximize your return on investment with video, because there's some simple things that people can do to get the best bang for their buck with it, and some mistakes I see people make, so I've just sort of clarified all that for people so that they can hit the ground running with it and not make mistakes that we've had to learn along the way.
Yeah. Well, that's a shortcut for sure. So just to reiterate, the web address is sonicsite.com.au. Site is S-I-G-H-T. And just as an aside, for anyone else who really does want to get into video and use it to grow their business, grow their practice, I would also encourage anyone to get a copy of Jeff's book called Shoot Me Now. Take hold of those guys if you want to get onto video, because I think if you're going to do video, I think it's important to do it well, because I think, candidly, a poorly executed video is probably going to hurt you more than help you. So I'd really rather we get this right from the beginning and execute well.
Yeah, and of course, you know, depending on where you're at with the process, it's often useful to, you know, bring the experts in, depending on what stage you're at with it and how you want to do it. So I encourage people to make their own, but also think about, you know, what's the best use of time and money in terms of should I be doing it myself or should I be working with the expert? So if you've got some local people nearby that can make the videos for you, then consider that as an option. Where, you know, you might want to make a series of videos at a day rather than do them one at a time, plan a strategy and, you know, shoot off 10 on a day. And that way you've got, you know, a whole lot of content that you can get out to the marketplace.
Batch them. And just as an aside, for anyone who wants to get hold of video, I've also got a little framework which helps me plan my short videos as well. So if anyone would like that, please send us a message and we'd be happy to do that. In fact, we might even just put it into the show notes as well. And that might be just a useful little tool for people as well. Hey, Jeff, you've been really, really generous with your time, really generous with your knowledge, and it's been fun, mate. I really enjoyed our conversation because the way you do video is exceptional. I've seen tons of your videos. They're really engaging and really, really wonderful. But beyond that, your business story, your knowledge around how to grow business is phenomenal, and I really just want to take a moment to say thanks, mate. You're an absolute gem, and I'm very grateful to you for taking the time to come and hang with us.
No, it's been a pleasure, Jesse. I really enjoyed it myself as well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, mate. Cheers, mate.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.